Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shkalim Daf Hey. We left off in Daf Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Rabbi Chiya, the second to last line of Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. Also anonymously, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zatzal. Also by Moshe and Devorah Smith, for Shlema, for their daughter, Tova Miriam, Bas Devorah Mendel. And also by Yossi Shik, Lila Nishmas, his father-in-law, whose yard site is today, Shmuel Nata Ben Yitzchak Koifman. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to... Oh, also public service announcement. There is no Daf Shir from last site. There is one for tomorrow. There's none for Sunday nor for Monday. Obviously here in Shul we're going to have all the Shirim. But Monday night I will give Monday's Daf Shir on Zoom at 9 p.m. Be'ezras Hashem. But Sunday's Daf will have to wait for the next cycle, I guess. I don't know. So today we're going to talk about... We went through a little bit at the end yesterday the relationship between the chi of kalbon and the chi of meiser behema, the inverse relationship that whenever you have a partnership situation where there's a chi of in paying the kalbon, that same partnership situation would yield a ptur from meiser behema and vice versa. So the Gemara is going to discuss, not always, sometimes you have a partnership situation where you're chayiv in both the kalbon and meiser behema, and sometimes you're potter from both kalbon and meiser behema. Then at the end of the perek, the Gemara is going to bring five opinions of what they did with the kalbon money. There's this extra money that came in beyond the machsa shekel. So what did they do with all of that money? And then the beginning of the second paragraph, the Mishnah is going to talk about what happens if the shekel gets lost. What happens if the shekel gets lost when it's on the way, and does it make a difference whether it was lost before they did the Trumas HaLishcha and brought the karbanos, or got lost afterwards? We're also going to discuss why it is that when they would be poda the shekel money to make it easier to bring up to Yerushalayim, they would only be poda on gold coins and they wouldn't be poda on gems and other such things. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens when Hegdish in general gets lost, and what happens if the Shkalim got lost and then you found the Shkalim. So now what? Now you have two sets of Shkalim. What happens with each set of Shkalim? And we're also going to talk about what if the Shliach, you send a very trusted Shliach, a good friend of yours, to bring your machsa shekel, and then he does it to give his own machsa shekel. He takes your machsa shekel and gives it for himself. So does that count for anything, or what does that count for, and what does he owe you? So the Gemara is going to discuss that case as well. So let's begin two lines from the bottom of the page. On Daf Dalet Amud Beis, says the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Bayi, V'lama les non omrin pam shein chayavin, bazeu bazeu pam shein peturin mizeu mizeu. Why is it that we only gave cases where if you're chayav in the kalbon, you're part from Meisr Behema? If you're chayav in the Meisr Behema, you're part from the kalbon. Can't we come up with cases where you're chayav in both, or where the partnership arrangement is such that you're chayav in both, or the partnership arrangement is such that you're part from both? So hey chavita, so Gemara says, what are the cases where you chayiv or pater from both? Simple. Chalkun chasim v'lo chalkun behema chayav b'zeh b'zeh. If the brothers that inherited their father's estate divided up all the other nechasim and all of the money, but they didn't divide up the animals between them, the animals remain b'tfisas habayis, so then it's chayiv in both meiser behema and kalbon. It's chayiv in kalbon because the kalbon is on the money, and the money they already divided, so they're considered independent people when it comes to the kalbon. But they're chayiv in meiser behema as well, because the animals were never divided, so it's still b'tfus sabayis. It's still animals that are only owned by one person, namely the father, and therefore it's chayiv in meiser behema. And similarly, chalkua behema. But if they divided up the animals and then they joined back together in a shutfus, so then it's not one person's animals. The animals are b'shutfus, and b'shutfus you're pater from meiser behema. But v'lo chalkua san chasim, if they never divided up the money, so the money is all owned by one party, namely the tfusas habayis, the father's estate, in which case, when they're paying the shkalim out of the tfusas habayis, that's like somebody else paying your shkalim for you. And when someone else pays your machsa shekel for you, there's no chiyuv kalbon. So then it would be a case of p'tur mizeh u'mizeh. Then it would be pata from both. So we were assuming that there were either situations where they have divided the estate and then they joined back together in a partnership, or there are situations where they never never divided the estate, and the estate remains the estate. But the Gemara says there are these in-between cases where some of the estate they divided, and some of the estate they left in the rishus of the estate. So depending which way that went, as far as the behema versus the rest of the nechassim, they could either be chayav mizeh mizeh, or they could be peturim mizeh mizeh. So I'm Rabbi Mana hada da'at amar b'shaloi sabeim arov. This idea that if they divided the behemos but not the nechassim, they're patur mizeh mizeh. That's only if the behemos are not the majority of the estate. Avol ma'isa behem arov. But if the behemos are the majority of the estate, so then hein hein ikur nechassim. Then you follow the rov, and the behemos are the ikur nechassim. And once they divided the behemos, that's considered that they divided the actual nechassim. So then they're each paying their own kalb, but they're each paying their own machsa shekel, so they would still be chayiv in the kalbun. You can only call it that the father's paying their machsa shekel if the primary part of the estate was never divided. But if the money was never divided, but the animals are worth way more than the money, there isn't that much other nechassim. Where the father, all he really had was animals. He had a few dollars of other things, but mostly it was animals. You can't say that they haven't divided the estate if they divided the animals. That is the estate. So then you would say that that's a shutvus and not a tfusa sabayis, and therefore they need to be chayiv in the kalbon. Okay, so now the Gemara explains the reason that that brothers who are partners that never divided the estate are in fact pater from the kalbon. Rabbi Avinah Amar, when the Mishnah says that brothers who are partners that never divided the estate and the estate remains the father's estate, that they're chayiv in ma'aser behemah but they're pater from kalbon, Rabbi Shammai wanted to understand why there is this p'tur. Is it because that they became like one person when it comes to ma'aser behemah, that were machmir to treat them like one person, that you're chayiv in ma'aser behemah, so therefore you're going to say a kula as well? I mean, when it comes to ma'aser behemah, you're going to say, oh, it's still the father's, so since it belongs to one person, it's chayiv in ma'aser behemah. Yeah, that's a chumrah to say it doesn't belong to these two brothers in partnership, it still belongs to the father, so it's going to be chayiv in ma'aser behemah. But at potrom and akalbon, based on that, you're going to deduce a kula as well, that they're potrom kalbon. Certainly they both are eventually going to split the estate, so we should be machmir. Why should we view it as one person's money? That person is no longer alive. So shouldn't, at least as far as kula is concerned, shouldn't we consider it like it's both of their money? So amrulei, so the Bnei Yeshiva said back to Rabbi Shammai, lo shan yehi, shunos in sala achashlema. No, don't you see the difference between Yorshim in Tfusas Abayis and all other shutvim, meaning the seller that they give is from the Tfusas Abayis, it's from the father's estate, it's not from their own personal property. So it says, I don't like that teretz me'ata. If they really have a din of Tfusas Abayis, then afilu cholku v'chazur v'neshtatzu chayv m'maisu v'em v'ptur min hakalbon. Then even when, if they were to have divided the estate and joined back in a partnership, we should also still call it Tfusas Abayis and say that they're part of kalbon. Utaninan, chayavim b'kalbon v'ptur m'maisu behema. But the Mishnah tells us not that way. That if they divided the estate and then rejoined in a partnership, it's not called Tfusas Abayis. Now, it's a regular partnership, and now because it's a regular partnership, they're patur from ma'aser behemah, and they're going to be chayiv in the kalbon. So the Gemara leaves the question unresolved, which is a little bit strange because the Achronim point out that the answer is obvious. Meaning lechora, when you have tfusas habayis, it's as if the father is the one that's taking the ma'aser behemah, so it's chayiv in ma'aser behemah, and it's as if the father is the one that's giving the shkalim, so it's patur from the machsa shekel. When they divided it and then they joined back together, that's a partnership. That's not tfusas habayis. It's such a pashut achilik. The Achronim don't understand why the Gemara leaves it as a question. In fact, one of the Achronim suggests that Maharav Fulda suggests that, yeah, they left it as a question because it's so obvious that what the answer is. So sometimes you don't even have to say the answer because the answer is so obvious. Okay, it's hard to understand. Rabbi Ba b'shem Abba Bar Rav Huna, whatever the halachas are about two brothers that inherit their father's estate, the same is true about two brothers-in-law that are married to two sisters that inherit their father-in-law's estate. Namely, that if they did not yet divide up the estate, then the animals are going to be chayiv and ma'aser behema, but they're going to be pater from paying the kalbon. Because I might have thought that it's dafka by sons that follow in the father's footsteps, and the Yerusha never went out to anybody else's Yerushos. But when it's sons-in-law, where the the kinyan only comes al yedei the kiddushin that they have with their wives. So I might have thought that they have a din of lekuchos, that it's ki'ilu they purchased this estate from the father, but it doesn't have a din of tfusas abayis. So kamash mlan that these the normal dinim of Yerusha have a din of tfusas abayis, that since it goes to the daughters and their daughters to their husbands, so that has a regular din of tfusas abayis. Okay, so now to finish off the perek, the Gemara says the eichanai kalbanos noflin. Once we learned this din of kalbon, where did this money go? Five shitos. Number one, Ramei Romer Lishkalim. It went to exactly where the Maksa Shekel money went, and it went to buy the Kabbarnas Tzibur, just like Lishkalim. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Linadava. No, they had something called the Kayitz HaMizbeach, that sometimes if the Mizbeach wasn't otherwise busy, they had a fund to pay for animals to be makrav on the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach was never resting. That's considered to be a positive thing, to keep the Mizbeach going, to maximize the efficiency of the Mizbeach. Like you have in factories, that you always try to maximize. They have, that's the big, all you get all these kashrus questions. How could it be that this is chametz? No, but that machine that they use, they only need for 3 hours a day to produce that product. They use the other 21 hours a day because they make the most the efficient machines possible to do other things. So the lahavdil, when it comes to the mizbech had to always be working because why not? Be mekadishim shemayim, be makrav karbanos. So there's kaitza mizbech. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, a third possibility, that they would use it for rikuyz of its sipoy the base kodesh hakadoshim, that they would use it for the gold plating on the kodesh hakadoshim, like the mosar atruma we're going to learn in the fourth paragraph. They also used for that purpose. A fourth possibility, Benazi Omer shulchanin hayunotanos on bescharan. Now the people who would do the money changers, that was their wages for doing the money changing, so that the base hamikdash wouldn't lose out. They took the kalban, all the full machsa shekel went to the base hamikdash. V'yesh Omer, fifth possibility, lo tzas drachim. They use that money to fix the roads and to make boros, l'tzorech harabim, other communal needs. That's what the money was used for. So that is the first parak of Mesech HaShkalim. So now we move on to the second parak of Mesech HaShkalim. So we're going to discuss bringing the Shkalim to Yerushalayim. So they would have very often in the local communities a gabbai who was in charge of collecting the Shkalim from all the Bnei Ha'ir, and then that gabbai would bring it to Yerushalayim. They didn't have to, every Jew is going to go bring the Machsa Shekel to Yerushalayim. They'd have one gabbai, he would collect it from everybody in the city, and he would bring it. So Mitzarfin Shkalim L'Darkonos. They're allowed to switch out those Shkalim. This gabbai is allowed to switch out those Shkalim for large gold coins, Mipnei Masu Yaderech, because it's easier to carry one item of very great value than a whole bunch of tiny items of much less value. So he's allowed to do that. The Tiferes Yisrael says, what's the chiddush over here? That even though the gabbayim in Yerushalayim are going to turn it back into matbeos katanos, and therefore the hektish is going to lose out on the on whatever the shulchani charges to change the money, we're not choshish for that. Other achronim say that the chiddush is that you're allowed to be mitzarif only for darkonos and not for margalios. I mean, you can only go and exchange it for gold coins. You cannot go exchange it for anything else of value. Yet others explain that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the gabayim are mechuyev to do this. Meaning, why would they be mechuyev to do it? Adrab, if they want to lug big suitcases all the way to Yerushalayim, so let them schlep. No, the concern is that they're going to bring so many coins. Some of them are going to fall out of their bags. Some of them are going to get lost along the way. But if they have like one gold, very valuable gold coin, so they'll protect it and they'll make sure that the entire thing gets there. So that's why they dafka had to do it. That it's mitzarfin shkalim ledarkonos meimasu yaderech. It's a chiyuv that they had to do. Okay, we're going to learn later in the Masechta that they used to have 13 shofaros in the Beis Hamikdash to gather all the money. These shofaros would be these big boxes where they would keep the money. The reason they're called shofaros is because it's shaped like a shofar in the sense that it's narrow at the top and it widens at the bottom. And they did that mipnei ramayim, so no one should be able to reach in to pull out the money from the pushka. So it's like these big pushkas. So k'shem shayu shofaros b'migdash, kacha yu shofaros b'medina. Just like they had shofaros in the Migdash, they also had shofaros for the gabbai ashkalim in each of the cities where the gabbai would collect. And after they gathered the shkalim from the Bnei Yair, they would bring the shofar also all to Yerushalayim, where they would exchange the money for gold, and they would bring that to Yerushalayim. So Bnei Yair sheshalchus shekleihen v'nignavu sha'avdu. What happens if people sent their shekel? Now that we know that there was a messenger bringing it, and you weren't the one bringing your own maksa shekel, what if you sent your shekel and then it got lost or stolen along the way? So in mitrama truma, if you know that about the Geneva and aveda only after the gizbar in the Beis Hamikdash took the truma salishka from the Beis Hamikdash and shvan la gizbarin, then the shlichim have to take their shvua to the gizbarin because that's who their baldin is. Meaning, whenever a shomer has to take a shvua that he was not posheya, that he wasn't negligent in his shlichus, and that he didn't steal the money for himself, the you always have to do it you have to take that shavua to the other party. So the other party in such a case is the gizbarin. The reason is because the trumas gizbarin is done for all of Klal Yisrael, both those who've already contributed their shkalim and those who have not yet contributed their shkalim and those shkalim that have not yet arrived. And therefore, since it was already done for all of Klal Yisrael, the people are already yotzei their chiyuv. The people who sent it with the shliach are yotzei their chiyuv anyway, because the gizbarim have already taken the karban for them. It's only the gizbarim that are going to lose out, meaning the gizbarim as representatives of Hegdash. It's Hegdash that's going to lose out because the money's never going to arrive. It got lost. V'imlav. But if they don't know about the Geneva Aveda before the Trumas Halishcha, so the Hegdash was not yet Zoche in those Shkalim, so then your Din Torah is with the Bnei Yair. So then Nishban the Bnei Yair, then the Shluchim are going to have to swear to the Bnei Yair. They're the Balei Din. O Bnei Yair, Shoklan Tachtein. And the Bnei Yair, since they were not Yotzei, their Chiyuv of Shkalim, because the shekel was lost before any karbanos were brought, before any trumas halishcha was taken, they're going to have to take a new shekel. They're going to have to take a new machsa shekel. Nimtzu osher chzir maganavim. What if after the Bnei Yair take the new machsa shekel, they find the old one, or the ganavim return it? Say elu ve'elu shkalim. Now all of it is counts as shkalim. It all goes to the Beis Hamikdash. Ve'inolam l'shon haba. Not only that, but it doesn't even count for next year. You might say, okay, so I took twice this year, so I shouldn't have to pay a machsa shekel next year. No, whatever you brought, whatever you took this year only counts for this year. Nothing counts for next year. Okay, so says the Gemara, we said at the very beginning of the Mishnah that we're mitzarfen shkalim l'darkonos, that we exchange the shkalim for gold coins. V'yasuos and margolios, wouldn't it be better if you exchange it for a gem, a diamond? That could be much more value and it'll be much easier to shlep to Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, no, shem etazil margolios, but the fluctuations in value when it comes to diamonds, when it comes to gems, are very great fluctuations in value, so that doesn't make us comfortable. So we're not okay with that. Gold retains pretty solid value. Kiyidu tanin kataman, and this is just like the Mishnah says in Meseches Bechoros about things that you have to be poda, v'kula niftin bekesef, when you're poda bechor, when you're poda hegdish, you use kesef, you use coins, u'beshava kesef, or metaltolin, because shava kesef has a din of kesef, chutz mishkalim, except for shkalim where you can only use coins, you're not allowed to use shava kesef. So the you could ask, vein podin bekelim, why can't you be poda shkalim on kelim? Why not to be poda shkalim on shava kesef, just like you could be poda bechor or anything else on shava kesef? V'am Rab Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, shem yazilu akelim. That the reason you're not allowed to be poda shkalim on shava kesef is because shava kesef can go down in value. V'nimtza hegdish mafsid, and it'll turn out that hegdish loses out. So afachanami, so too we can explain our Mishnah as well. The reason we're not allowed to exchange the maksa shekel money on margolios, on gems and pearls and things like that, is shemet hazel margolios nimtza hegdish mafsid, because we're afraid it's going to go down in value and hegdish is going to end up with losing out as a result of that. Now the Mishnah had said that they had these shofaros in the Medina where they would gather all the shkalim. So masnisa betiklin chadatin. The Mishnah that says that they had these shofaros, that's dafka for the shkalim for this year. Meaning if you're paying on time, then you put the money in these shofaros that were in your city, which the local gabbai would then take care of and bring to Yerushalayim. Aval betiklin atikin, but if you're still paying back from last year, you still have a balance that carries over from the previous year, lobada. Then you don't get this din of putting it in the shofaros. The shofaros of the Medina are only for the tiklin chadatin, not for the tiklin atikin. So what do you do if you have to pay from last year? You got to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash yourself. V'tani kein atikin b'mikdash v'ein atikin b'medina. And that's why The Brisa says that Tiklan Atikin, they had shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in Medina. I guess that was part of the punishment, meaning it was a motivation to pay on time. And if you don't pay on time, it's going to be such a hassle to go back and to pay last year's Maksa Shekel. So you pay on time, you can just drop it in your local drop box. Okay, so the Mishnah then went on to say that the Bnei Ya'ir that sent the Maksa Shekel, and then they got lost or they got stolen along the way. So Nitzma Chuma, the Chuma's already taken. So then the Gizbarin have to, the Shluchim have to swear to the Gizbarin. But if it's not Nitzma Chuma, then they swear to the Bailim. So it says the Gemara, Masnisa Bishomer Chinam. The whole din of the Mishnah that the Shluchim are going to have to swear to anybody, and just by swearing, they're putter from paying, that's if it's the Shomer Chinam, because the Shomer Chinam is putter and Gnev Vaveda. So they just have to take a Shvua that they were not Shaleach Bayad, that they didn't steal it, and that they weren't Poshea. Avol Bishomer Sachar, but had those Shluchim been a Shomer Sachar, if you paid them to bring your Maksa Shekel, Lobuda, then the din would not be the same. They would have to pay, because Shomer Sachar is Chayiv in Gnev Vaveda. So they wouldn't be able to swear and get off the hook. So answer Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Vafil Temar B'Shomer Sachar. Nah, maybe the Mishnah is even talking about a Shomer Sachar. Aye, but he's Chayiv in Gnei Vaveda. How can he just swear? There are different types of Gnei Vaveda. Regular Gnei Vaveda, Shomer Sachar is Chayiv in. But our Mishnah maybe is talking about Nignevu. Doesn't mean Gnei Vaveda, means Ballista Mazuyan. It means with armed bandits. Avdu means Tavis Finasu Bayam. Something crazy happened. The boat sank in the sea. So that's an Onas Gomor. All of these things are, you might call them Geneva or Aveda. They got lost because the boat sank. They got stolen because bandits took them. So you call that stealing. But that's an onus. That's not what we typically call Geneva Aveda. So Shomer Sachar is Pater on onus. So he too would be Pater if he just swears to it. And maybe that's the case the Mishnah is talking about. Then we said that if it's Nitma Truma, then you swear to the Gizbar. But if not, then you swear to the Bnei Ya'ir. So Amr Rabbi Yusti Bar Rabbi Simon, this din, that if Nitma Truma, you swear to the Gizbarim, it's because it's considered as if Hekdish already owns this money. So when the money was lost, when it was Nidnav or Nevad, it's Hekdish's loss. And therefore, it's the Gizbarim that you have to swear to because they are your Balei Din. So Asi Kamandi Omer Tormin Ala Gavoy Vala Asa the Gavos. This seems to assume that when they take the Chumas HaLishcha and they use that money to buy the Karbanos HaTzibur, they do that not only for the already collected Shkalim, but even those Shkalim that they have not yet collected, so that all of Klal Yisrael will have a Chelek in the Karbanos HaTzibur. So it turns out that these Shkalim that the Shluchim are already holding are already Bereshus Hekdish. They're not yet collected by Hekdish, but they're already Bereshus Hekdish, because when they would take the Chuma, they would have in mind even that which they have not yet collected. Not that which the Gizbarim have not even yet collected, but even that which was in transit, even that which was on its way. So Biram Kemandi Amar Ein Tormin Lo Al Gavoy V'Lo Al Asa Ligvos. But if you don't say if you assume like the Shita that holds that Kohanim are not Torim for that which has not yet arrived in the Lishka, and nor for that which is not yet collected, Lobeda, then you can't say like our Mishnah, because according to that, if the Truma was already taken, then the Shluchim should have to swear to the Bnei Ya'ir. The Bnei Ya'ir are going to have to pay for it because they were not yet Yotzei with the Karbanos HaTzibur. So you see that our Mishnah is locked into the Shita that holds that your Tormin Ala Gavoy on the Shkalim that have already been collected have not yet arrived, and Ala Asad Ligvos on the Shkalim that were not yet collected. I guess it means not even yet collected back in the city. So Bnei Ya'ir Shesholcha Shekleim. Then the Mishnah went on to say that if you have the Bnei Ya'ir that sent their shkalim, right? That were shaleach their shkalim, and then they got lost. So again, we said either they swear to the gizbar or they swear to the Bnei Ya'ir. So let's talk a little bit about this shavua. There is a gemara or a mishnah in Masechta Shavuos and Daf Mem Beis that hakdeshos are in the category of things that you are not nishba on. They're a nishba in ala hakdeshos. We're not nishba ala karkos. There are certain categories of items that you do not take a shavua on. So one of them is Hekdish. So what's going on over here? This stuff is Hekdish. The Maksa Shekel, it's Hekdish. How could there be a Shavua on Hekdish? So the Gemara answers that unstated question. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Mishnah says that they have to swear it's Rabbi Shimon. He's assuming like Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kad kachim shuchay v'achriyuson kinechas avein. When you have kachim that you're responsible to replace if they get lost, then it's your nechasim. So since the truma salishcha has not yet been taken, the bailim are going to be on the hook to pay more money, so they're chayiv v'achriyuson. It's considered their nechasim. It's not considered nechsei hagdish. And therefore, the shluchim are going to have to swear to the bailim that they were not sholeich b'yad, that they didn't do anything, they didn't take it, they were not posheya. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan comments, our Mishnah that says that the shlichim are nishbayim to the bnei ear is divrei akoli. That assumes that's universal. Mishum shuvas takana, meaning even the chacham who hold that you're not nishba alakdeishos, this shvuah you would take because this is a special takanas chachamim in order to prevent them from being mezalzel bekdeishos. Meaning enochinami from regular dinei shvuah, there's no reason the shliach should have to take a shvuah. It's hekdeishos. You don't take a shvuah in hekdeishos. But a takanas chacham, they were nervous that people would be mezalzel in hekdeishos, so they made a takanas chacham that you do take a shvuah for this. So asks the Gemara on Rabbi Lezer, al daited Rabbi Yochanan, within the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, this shvuah is a takanas chachamim nicha. It all makes sense. Nishpan la gizbarim, that you would take a shvuah to the gizbarim if they already took the trumas alishcha. Meaning not only would the din of nishpan la baila make sense, but nishpan la gizbarim would also make sense. Meaning it makes perfect sense that if it's takanas chachamim, the chamra mesakein, that you'll take a shvuah to whoever is considered to be the one that's going to lose out because of the loss of this money. But v'imlav, nishpan la b'nei'ir, b'nei'ir shoklam acherim tachdein. So I get all of that it's either going to be to the gizbarim or to the b'nei'ir. Mishum shuvas takana el Rabbi Lazar, but according to Rabbi Lazar, who said that the Mishnah is going dafka within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, so then only one of these shvuos makes sense. Meaning, what would we say? Really, you're not allowed to be nishban ala karkos. But Rabbi Lazar said, yeah, but that's only, and you're not nishban ala kdeshos. But Rabbi Lazar said, but if you're chayiv bachriyuson, then it's not considered hegdish, then it's considered yours. So the bailim are chayiv bachriyuson, so it's there, so you take a shvuah to the bailim. That explains why you would take a shvuah to the bailim. But why, if they discover this after the Trumas Halishcha was taken already, would you be Nishbal and Gizbarim? That just means Hegdish. That doesn't belong to anybody. So Nishbarim L'bnei Yair Ahadahi. That makes sense. The Rabbi Shimon, Adai the Rabbi Shimon. That makes sense that you're going like Rabbi Shimon. But Nishbal and Gizbarim, Gizbarim Ayavi Detayu. Why in the world would you ever take a Shavuot to the Gizbarim? That's the stam being Nishbal Alakdeshos. Says the Gemara, you're right. Nishbarim Alakdeshos, it doesn't make any sense that you would take such a Shavuot. Our Mishnah must be talking about a Shliach who's a Shomer Sachar, and there was a Geneva Vaveda in a way that he should still be, meaning he was a Geneva Vaveda of Lista Mizuyin. It was an onus that happened along the way. So what happens? You have a Shomer Sachar, you ask him to do a job, he can't do the job because of some crazy onus. Does he still get paid? Meaning, he's not going to be chayiv to replace the item that got lost because it was an onus. It was a list of mezuyah and it's tavas fina, so it was an onus. But of course, he still gets paid. He did his job. I mean, he didn't get to do it, but he tried his best and there was an onus. And he's not chayiv for the onus, which means you still have to pay him. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. We're not talking about swearing about the shkalim themselves. We're talking about the Shomer Sachar swearing so that he can get paid for the job. Nishboim lebnei Yair, the shvuah that he takes to the bnei Yair, b'maimon gizbarim kiechi delo lach shadinu. When our Mishnah says that he swears to the gizbarim, it means he swears to the bnei Yair in order to get paid by the bnei Yair in the front of the gizbarim, so that the gizbarim should not be choshed that he's hiding it. Inami delo nash Shavalu poshim, or so that they shouldn't think of him as posheya, or that they were posheya b'shlichusam. So now the Gemara adds, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the shvuah is purely a takanas chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan is much simpler. He said, "Oh, we just make a whole shvuah a takanas chachamim, and that's why you would swear in either direction. In the case where the trumas halishcha was not yet taken, so then you swear to the bnei ear, and the bnei ear are going to have to replace the shkalim. So that's afal picha kiblu bnei ear l'shalim, even." That shvuah is going to happen even if the Bnei Yair were makabal on themselves to pay, that they believe the shliach, and they say even without the shvuah of the shliach, we believe you. You don't have to swear. We understand, and we gave you the money because we trusted you. You've been doing this job for 30 years, and you've been doing it faithfully. We have no reason to assume that you're lying. So we're happy to pay without a shvuah. Still, afal pisha kiblu b'nei Yerushalayim ein hakdash yotze below shvuah. Still, the if you hold that it's a takanas chacham is not to be mezalzel in hakdash, to always make sure that there's going to have to be a shvuah. So to prevent the zilzul of Hegdash. So it's not only a din Torah with the Bnei Yair, it's not up to them. This was the Karas Chachamim to protect the dignity of Hegdash, which the Bnei Yair do not have bailus over. Okay, so now the Mishnah said that if the Shkalim get lost from the Shliach, loses the Shkalim when he's bringing them to Yerushalayim, so we discussed what to do. So Hifra Shikla Va'avad. Let's say the Shliach didn't lose the Shekel. You were mafra Shekel in your own house. Okay, here's going to be my Matzah Shekel. I'm going to give it, I'm going to bring it to the Pushka tomorrow. I'm going to put it in the shop. And then you lost it. You didn't get to bring it. So Rabbi Yochanan Rechayv Bach Riusa Adshim Suen El Gizbar. You're responsible until it got to the Gizbar. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer Hegdish Bereshus HaGvah B'chol Makam Shehu. And Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, no, it belongs to Hegdish already. So wherever it is, it didn't disappear. So wherever it is, it's Hegdish's money. That is wherever it is. And even if the Gizbar didn't get it, Hashem Aratzum Lava. And therefore, it's Kodesh Baruch Hu's, wherever it belongs. So Masnisa Pliga Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Shimon Lakish, because our Mishnah says that if the Bnei Yair find out about the loss of the Shkalim before the Trumas Halishcha, Nishpan the Bnei Yair Shokun Tachteim, they're going to have to replace it. So why don't you just say, oh, wherever it is, it belongs to Hegdish? No, you got to replace it. So Lo Oti Mishum Shavuos Takana. Says Gemara, no, didn't Rabbi Yochanan already explain that the Shavuah that the Shlichim take is not Minadin? It's only a Takana's Chacham, not to be Mezalzel in Hegdish. So maybe this is part of that, that the Chiv of the Bnei Yair to replace it and today is not really Minadin. Minadin, wherever it is, Hashem Aratzim Allah belongs to the Rabbanu Shlalom. This is just not to be Mezalzel in Hegdish. They made a takana that you're going to have to take a new Machsa Shekel. Okay, the mission then went on to say, and if we then find it, then Elu ve'elu Shkalim. Then they're both Shkalim. So Tani Rishonim Nofim L'tikin Chadin Vashnim Nofim L'tikin Atikin. So what do they do with both sets of Shkalim? So the first ones are for this year's Shkalim. They go together with this year's Shkalim. The second ones go together with the funds from Shkalim that were from previous years that are first coming in now. Say Eluve Rishonim Veluve Nishnim. Well, which are the first ones? Which are the second ones? Meaning, there was the first one you were mafresh, but then you lost it, and then there's the ones that you replaced it with, and then you found the first one. So the first ones were first and third, right? So which ones are the? What are we calling the first? What are we calling the second? So says my Eluve Rishonim Veluve Nishnim that the Rabbi Pinchas by Rabbi Chia by Rabbi Abba Mari Chad Amar Elu Shasholchu Bnei Ha'ir Tchila, that the Rishonim are the ones that they originally sent that got lost and then were later found. The Charana Amar Elu Shegili De Gizbaran Tchila. No, first ones meaning the first ones that the Gizbaran got. So that means the second ones that you were actually Mafrish. Okay, now Halacha Beis, says the Mishnah. And also in Shikla L'Chaveru, person gives a Machs HaShekel to someone else to bring from the Shkol Al Yado, to do me a favor, go bring this Machs HaShekel to the Beis HaMikdash for me. Ushkol Al Yatzmo, he chaps the Machs HaShekel, he takes it for himself, and he's a Shekel. We have sugyas and shas like this in Maseches Kiddushin, right? You send your friend to go be Mekadish Nisha for you, and he says, well, good looking girl, I'll take it for myself, and he's Mekadish for himself. So a similar idea. So you say you take the Shekel L'Chaveru, and the guy decides he's going to take it for himself. If at the time that the shliach took it for himself, they already had taken the truma salishcha, so it turns out the shekel was already in the rishus of Hegdish. So when you're trying to use it for yourself, you're in violation of me'ila, because you're taking something that already belongs to Hegdish and using it for your own benefit. Hashokel shiklo mina Hegdish. If a person takes a machsa shekel from Hegdish money, he goes and steals bedek habayis money to pay his machsa shekel. And then they take a truma salishcha and they actually bring the behema. Ma'al, that's also a violation of mi'ila because you were nana from Hegdish. Mi ma'isr sheni, if let's say you take ma'isr sheni money, umidme shviyas or shmita money that have kedusha shviyas, so yochal kenegdan. So then the halacha is you're going to have to be yochal kenegdan. We'll explain what that means in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, hashokel, if you took from Hegdish or truma, the truma, I'm sorry, if the person was shokel shikla from Hegdish. And then there were nitruma truma, and the behema was already karav, so he's ma'al. So Gemara says, anantaninan im karva ha behema, v'tan de be'rabi im nitruma truma. That in our mission we said that it's a violation of mi'ila only if they already brought the behema on the mizbeach. But if they have not yet brought the behema on the mizbeach, then you have not violated mi'ila, even though they've taken the truma sa'alishcha and purchased the behema. Since the Hegdish money that you were shokel your shekel from had kedushas bedek habayis, and when you were shokel the shekel from them, they retain that kedushas bedek habayis. So when the truma is taken and the behema is bought, the kedushas bedek habayis is chal on that behema. It's only when they're makriv the behema on the mizbeach that it leaves the kedushas bedek habayis, and it's a violation of meila. Meaning meila is when it's misappropriated, when it still has the original status. It's not meila. So you took something that had kedushas bedek habayis, and now the kedushas bedek habayis is transferred. It's still, it's on the behema, but nothing happened yet. It's only when they're makir of the behema that it takes on this kedushas mizbeach, and therefore you were moel. But the Tana de Beit Rabbi said, no, im nitruma truma, even before they were makir of the karban, it's already a violation of meila. Man Tana im nitruma truma. Who's the Tana that holds im nitruma truma? It's already meila. Rabbi Shimon. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Damer Rabbi Shimon miyada yimakabel moosav, that the chenveni who would provide the karbanos and the tzarchei mizbeach would right away receive the money. Meaning that's against the Tana of a Mishnah we're going to have later on in this Masechta, that the chenveni doesn't get paid until they're makriv on the mizbeach, because we're choshesh that maybe there will be a psul and Hector will end up losing out. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, we're not worried about that, because v'kohanim is using name. Kohanim are very careful to do their job faithfully, and therefore you could pay the chenveni in advance. The kasha, so says the Gemara, we said in the Mishnah that if I send someone else to take my maksa shekel, and he goes and he takes it for himself, so he's in violation of mi'ila. Why is that mi'ila? That's a difficult din. How do I know that he's moel? Ilu ha'gonei v'loso shel chavero. If a person steals someone else's karban, he brings it to the Meis HaMikdash, ushchato stam, and they shecht it stam as a karbanola. Stam alo l'shem bailim arishonim echaperes. What, don't you realize that that karban is going to count for the real bailim? Meaning, you can't trick Hashem. You can't say, this is mine. Hashem knows that it's not yours, so it's going to count for the real Bailam. So why should this be any different? Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yudan Tiftar b'Mesuyam k'Mishal Beis Rabbi Gamliel v'Hayimiskavin l'Dochvel l'Toch HaKupa. No, you know what they did? This wasn't just Stam that they threw Shkalim in there. This was Shkalim that when they were taking the Trumas Halishcha, the guy who was collecting, the Kohen who was taking the Trumas Halishcha, knew exactly whose money it was, and he daft that Kavanah to take it so that your money should be able to be the person who we thought it belonged to should be able to, that money should be able to be used for the purchase of the actual kabbalas, because that's what they used to do by the Beis Rabbi Gamliel. We're going to learn later in the Masechta that Beis Rabbi Gamliel used to dafka make sure that it was their money that was actually used, and their money shouldn't end up being shiore alishcha. Their money had to be actually used for the karban. The chashlom. So just before we finish up that sentence, the Gemara is going to explain what they used to do. The chashlom shemesh shrayim einofim. So the Beis Rabbi Gamliel were choshesh that maybe the chuma is not going to be taken from their shkalim, and it's just going to go to the shiare alishcha. But how could you say that v'chiyesh mi'ila b'shirayim, where there's no mi'ila on the shirayim? The kedusha of all the shkalim in the lishcha is all condensed onto whatever they take for the chuma salishcha. So why does it matter to Rabbi Gamliel if their shkalim remain behind? The shkalim that they brought, even if they remain behind, all of that kedusha gets transferred onto whatever they took for the chuma salishcha anyway. Elik Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir Omer, and b'shirayim. No, we must be assuming like Rameir that the shkalim that were not chosen still retain their kedusha. So the Beis Rabbi Gamliel were concerned. I'm going to bring shkalim. They're not going to get chosen. They'll retain their kedusha, and someone else's shkalim are going to pay for the karbanos. So they were mapping. I want my shkalim to pay for the karbanos. So now the Gemara finishes up the teretz of Rabbi Yudin since we find that this was the Beis Rabbi Gamliel's minhag. So odi b'masuim shel Beis Rabbi Gamliel shei miskavim retam l'shmo. Our Mishnah is also talking about such a case, that this Shaliach who went and he took it for himself was doing a Beis Rabbi Gamliel trick. He was trying to take the Truma. He was trying to have the Shkalim, the Maksa Shekel, the Dafka, that Maksa Shekel be brought as a carbon. Al Das, that it's him, that he's the real Bailim of that Maksa Shekel. There are discussions in Poskim that what if a person steals a Kaddish that belongs to someone? It used to be they would take turns saying Kaddish. So some Sofer as a Tshuva, he says, doesn't count. Counts for the other person's relative anyway. Meaning, if you're going to try to chap something that belongs to someone else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu evens the score. So anyway, I asked the Gemara, what hana'ah did the shliach get when he was, that we're going to say he's in violation of Me'ilah. He knows it's not his shekel. So I'm Rabbi Yavin B'Shem Rabbanan de Taman, that they said in the name of the Chachmei Bavel, Rabbanan de Taman, the Rabbanan over there, so this is Talmud Yerushalmi, so the Rabbanan over there, the Rabbanan in Bavel, Mekivin Shebezin Ru'in L'Mashkein, since if a person doesn't pay his Machzah Shekel, Bezin could take a Mashkin from him, V'lo Mashkino, so now he's not going to have to take the Mashkin because they think it's his, so that's K'moshenen, that's Hana that he's getting, and therefore it's a violation of Mi'ila. Then we said Mimai Sosheni, that if you take shekel from Maaser Sheni or from Shavias, so why is it that you can't give Maaser Sheni from Maaser Shekel? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says by Bechar, Ach Bechar Asher Yuvukar LaHashem BaVehema Lo Yakdish Ish Oso. So you can't be Makdish a Bechar for a carbon or any other kedusha. So we see Kol Shu Kodesh Ein Kedusha Chala Alav. Anything that's already Kodesh, you can't have another kedusha be Chala on that which is already Kodesh. So Ketzaru Rosa. So what do you do with this matbeya of Maaser Sheni that you gave from Maaser Shekel? You can't buy carbonos with it. So maybe sell the shulchulin. You have to take a chulin coin. Va'omer most ma'aser sheni b'chol makom shein you mechulal and I'll sell the zoo. The ma'aser sheni value should be mechulal on this money. Va'osa sella nit va'osa shein ma'aser sheni. And now that sella has kedushas ma'aser sheni, and you bring that to Yerushalayim to buy food with, just like you would regular ma'aser sheni money. Va'ashar and the original coin nasu shkalim that becomes your maksa shekel. It has kedushas maksa shekel, and yotzei your chiv maksa shekel. With that, okay, so Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Halacha Gimel on top of Vav Amud Aleph tomorrow. Have a good Yantif, a good Shabbos, and a good Yantif, everybody.